pleasure.
This Doug and Danny podcast brought to you by Cunningham's Journal. Cunningham's Journal, the only bar you need to know in Kearney.
They didn't have what it takes to be astronauts. They don't fit the foreign diplomat mold. Their computer science careers were cut short. And the banking world still blanches at the mere mention of their names. But when it comes to sports in Central Nebraska, they know their stuff. And so without further ado, mostly because we're out of it, Central Nebraska's ESPN Radio Superstation presents the Doug and Danny Show.
And good morning, everyone. Welcome to another edition of the Doug and Danny Show here on Central Nebraska's ESPN Radio Superstation. Getting closer to Halloween. You're getting closer to finishing that costume off. I like it. I like it. 1-888-455-ESPN. That's the phone number. You can email us anytime to the Dent Popper inbox, Doug and Daddy at ESPNSuperstation.com. Doug and Daddy at ESPNSuperstation.com. A lot to talk about today. We've got our NFL power rankings, which again, you kind of throw in a blender and see who comes out after the top two, so we'll take a look at those. Also, we'll talk with the head women's basketball coach at Hastings College, Jeff Dittman, in his first year, and already very high expectations. They are ranked number two in the nation in the preseason. Not picked to win their conference, number two in the preseason, but Morningside is number one out of their conference.
When you come in as a new coach, and you knew you had talent, but to put that on your back, the bullseye, squarely. They didn't just tape it up there. They nailed it in the middle of every one of those women's players' backs because everybody is going to be out to get you. Number two in the nation.
Three seniors on this basketball team. Good crop of juniors. We will talk with the coach as they get ready with their new staff and get ready to address the season and attack it tomorrow. They head to the Morningside Classic. They don't play Morningside. That would be a little too much for 1-2, especially since they're conference, but they're going up there to play a couple games this weekend, so we'll be talking with the coach. Also, high school football playoffs begin today. The preseason college men's basketball poll is out. Kansas is 23rd. This just in. Kansas is not 23rd. When's the last time Kansas was 23rd, Tony?
Ever? Well, I was just thinking Naismith was a coach.
Yeah. Texas is the highest-ranked Big 12 team at number 8. Yeah. Again, we'll see who sorts themselves out and does some dominating there. Also, as we said, high school football playoffs, the high school volleyball brackets are out for next week. Thanks for waiting to the last minute to do that. Those are out. The UNK volleyball team, nice win last night against Bellevue. Two weekends left. They can clinch the RMAC this weekend. And something in the air, Rocky Mountain High, does not set well with the Nebraska volleyball team as they are upset and not really even that close last night in Boulder. Go down in four sets.
Again.
They won a set. They lost the second set, 27-25. The first of the four sets were not close. Nebraska didn't get to 20 points. And it was 3 years ago where, well, 2 years ago, not last year, the year before, 2006, where Nebraska suffered the defeat. But things worked out okay, if I remember right. Things worked out okay. Last year, though, after a devastating loss to Texas, things went the wrong way. We'll see what Nebraska has to bounce back from here. They are hosting Iowa State on Saturday.
Doug, what do you do if you're John Cook and things have been going so smoothly? Do you make a big deal out of this, or do you just forget it? You just drop it and say, it's over, done. We don't talk about it ever again, and you go from there.
Here's what Coach Cook said. He said the Huskers, who had swept their last eight opponents, had not had the focus they had shown through the first part of the season. Quote, I saw this coming over the last 2 weeks, and Colorado took advantage of it tonight. Being complacent caught up with us tonight. Colorado made a lot of plays tonight, but in a lot of ways, we were very undisciplined tonight. And that's what Coach John Cook had to say after the match. Nebraska, 14 service errors, 30 attack errors. Colorado became only the second team to defeat the Huskers more than once in the last five seasons.
It's tough to remain focused when you get off to start like they did. Nobody expected. What was the expectation going into this year?
It's okay that we lose, but don't lose to Colorado. I mean, you lose to Texas, you lose to Kansas State, one of the rated teams. Colorado, it's not like Colorado's good. They're 12-9, 6-6 in the conference. I mean, this is their Super Bowl. This is their get into the NCAA tournament game is what this was. If they could stay above 500, they're in. But then Texas got upset last night by Oklahoma, and Nebraska just trashed Oklahoma last weekend. They just killed Oklahoma at Norman. And this game was in Austin. Oklahoma went to Texas and won in five at Texas.
Does Jeff Dittman take note of things like that that happen around the country and other sports? When you're that highly ranked, to remain focused and see what happens when you don't?
In sports where you play more than 30 or 20 games a year, I'd say even 20, you have to expect to get beat. You just have to expect to get beat. And this whole unbeaten thing, you know what? New England ran the table, and now they're not even mentioned as one of the great teams of all time because they didn't win the Super Bowl, which is just strange. It's hard to go unbeaten. Don't set a goal as going unbeaten. Set a goal as trying to win each night. And I guess it is too bad that Nebraska probably isn't playing on the West Coast with the type of talent they have, because they're not getting tested night in and night out. And when you play eight matches and only have to go 24 sets, you're going to get bored. And you knew going into Colorado, even no matter what the coach says, well, Colorado stinks. They're 11-9. They're 5-6 in the conference. We're going to kick their ass too. Well, somebody somewhere is going to have that career night. And that's what Colorado did. It's a different set of kids. It's not the same kids on either team that played a couple of years ago outside of Larson for Nebraska. So that's what happened there. World Series is over. Fox had a bias towards the Phillies. I cannot believe it. I cannot believe it. Of all the excitement last night, and we got to get to John Daly, too. We've got to get to John Daly, too. So we'll talk about that. Only John Daly. I mean, it's one of those where don't live up to your stereotype, and he did exactly that. 1-888-455-ESPN. You can email the Dent Popper inbox, DougAndDaddy@ESPNSuperstation.com. Tony, I thought that everything last night was pretty exciting with the baseball game. But this got under my craw a couple of weeks ago, watching, I think it was LSU South Carolina. Why do they have, you can watch a Pittsburgh Pirate Washington National game on dish or on the package in April, and you are going to get a review of any kind of call, just a regular call, multiple times. Why last night couldn't we get that? I would like to know, and I am very serious when I say this, I would like to know if some of the union camera people were sent home from that baseball game last night, or if something happened with the setup of the game that they couldn't have cameras where they usually do. And I'm referring, there were multiple plays, but I will refer to the check swing that was never shown from the third baseline. And the point is, it's not who won or lost or anything like that. From a media standpoint, I'm watching the game. I'm watching the game because I want to A, watch the game, B, hear what's going on, C, watch replays. What's the one thing you miss when you go to a major league game?
Replays.
You go to a Husker game, you get replays. One replay. That's it. That's it, and it's quick. You miss replays. Why were they not showing replays last night? They would show replays of a guy sliding into second in the rain 10, 20 times. They would show a replay of the dugout. They'd keep showing the dugout. Why wouldn't they show replays of some of the calls last night in that baseball game?
Well,
I just want to know why they wouldn't do that.
I wish, and you're saying, well, you think there was a Fox bias towards Phillies because the replays
most of the plays in question had to do with whether Tampa Bay did this, Tampa Bay did that.
I want to know why the weather. Yes, it should have been talked about. And we beat that deal to death on this network. Lord knows we talked about the weather in Philadelphia. Hell, we had weather people on from Philadelphia for 10, 12, 15 minute segments. Why wasn't the umpire scrutinized a little bit more? You go back to the beginning of Game 5. There were bad calls, and I'm not talking
bad calls last night.
I'm not talking about
where was the and that's another thing, Tony. Where was the Fox track?
There you go.
Seriously, when it's a bad call, they never put in that Fox track. I said all playoffs, it never gets it right anyway. But then when they could have actually went against themselves and showed a ball that was in the strike zone with that phony Fox track, they never did. Seriously, how many times when that ball went right down the middle did you see the Fox track?
You never did. Yeah, you never did. And I thought when they showed it on the day before, I thought that they made it skinnier. It was more up and, you know, like they squeezed the, you know, during the season, I thought it was more of a an oval, and you know, and I'm drawing the picture square of some sort. It was more of a rectangle, skinnier. You know, when they were talking about inside outside pitches, so like, well, he was right on that one, and I'm like, well, your box isn't drawn right.
Exactly, and the box always seemed to be. They'd always put the spot where the catcher caught it.
Exactly, too, and it's 2 foot from the catcher.
And unfortunately, I think this took away from my enjoyment of the baseball game. And I would feel that maybe it took away from some of the other viewers' enjoyment of the baseball game.
I thought, Doug,
you either have it or don't have it. The point is, I thought the coverage of the game last night was pitiful. It was horrid. The baseball was very exciting. The way that it ended, very exciting. The energy was there. But it was covered horribly by Fox. Horribly. And it's the World Series. Would you put up with that in the Super Bowl, no matter who was playing?
No, it doesn't. No,
Tampa Bay, Oakland.
I'd say it's a
Baltimore,
different
Baltimore, Giants. Well, why? It's the championship. Why?
And plus, it's 3.5 innings. I mean, they've got all day to talk about a 3.5-inning game. And if one team wins, it's over. There's your celebration. There's your parade. I mean, it's over. It's done. It's the season. You're right. It's the championship. That's what this the magna cum laude. This was what the buildup was for. And then but once again, they come out. Who put the pressure on first? It was the Phillies. They score the run to take the lead. Yes, Tampa Bay came back and tied it up. But the pressure always seemed to be, watching that, it seemed to be the pressure was applied by the Phillies. Well, and a lot of that had to do with the energy the crowd supplied, etc.
Also, I will say this, maybe this is the conservative, older, you know, person I've started to become, I guess. B.J. Upton can't bunt. Philadelphia bunted twice. They got the leadoff guy on. They bunted him, or they doubled. They bunted him over to third. The Rays get the leadoff guy on in the eighth. B.J. Upton, first pitch, grounds into a double play. 99, game over. That play right there, game over. Outstanding play to throw the guy out at the plate. That's just an outstanding play. If you're a Tampa fan, you're going, we can't get a break. If you're a Philly fan, you're going, that's the greatest play in Philly's history. You know, because that was just amazing the way it worked out. I mean, I'd like to see him try that 5 more times and put the ball anywhere near the catcher. But it worked out, and that's what makes it a great, great play and a World Series winning play. But B.J. Upton, this is a young team. We got no Reggie Jacksons on this team. We got no Mark McGuire's on this team, no Barry Bonds, no guy that's hitting a home run every 5 times he walks up there. B.J. Upton, why did he not bunt the baseball?
Well, I obviously, Doug, I hate to question what they did in that dugout because they had a pretty successful run up to this point. I think a lot of people think that you could have got maybe some more value of base runners down. Yeah, I understand that argument, but at the time, I think they thought BJF they were going to trade now. They thought his bat could produce some power, obviously, and they obviously
how much
didn't
power want. Did Tampa Bay have outside of that home run? I don't know. Maybe so. Maybe so, but I just think, bunt him over. I mean, even if he gets a base hit, is he going to go first to third? And you know, it's too bad. I was rooting for Tampa Bay last night. I'll come out and say that. And if you're rooting for Tampa Bay, you just look at Tampa Bay had more hits in the game. Both of the runs came in against the drawn-in infield. You know, the pop-up, the kid doesn't catch the pop-up. I don't think that would have made a difference anyway. I think they tag up and score from third. The infielder, I think it was the second baseman, not the shortstop, ran into short center and didn't catch the ball. But every little thing that could go the Phillies' way went the Phillies' way, including the outstanding play by Utley to throw him out at the plate. I mean, it just everything that could have went their way. And then in the ninth, you got Tampa Bay guys trying to outguess Brad Lidge. And they even get a guy on line drive, but right at the right fielder. And, I mean, every possible thing outside of the home run went to Philadelphia's way.
Cole Hamels. No one's heard of Cole Hamels before this series starts. No one's heard. Have you heard of Cole Hamels?
He had a good season.
But seriously.
He's young.
entering this postseason, had you heard of Cole Hamels? I don't know anybody. You're sitting at the bar going, you know who's a damn good pitcher, is that Cole Hamels? No one said that. No one said that. 1.8 ERA in five postseason starts.
You don't think Rockin took him in the fantasy draft at the start of the season?
Well, I'm sure, yeah. There's somebody, yeah, in about the 38th round of that baseball deal.
Well, hey, folks, don't forget, email us with your Turkey of the Week. I'm going to nominate Fox for Game 5 coverage as the Turkey of the Week. But if there's someone or something that strikes you as a total turkey, you can nominate it for Doug and Daddy's Turkey of the Week. Just email the Dent Popper inbox, Doug and Daddy. You spell out the word and, Doug and Daddy, at ESPNSuperstation.com. You might win a 15-pound smoked turkey for the holidays from Schroeder's Smoked Foods in Shelton. We're going to take a break here on the Doug and Daddy Show. Jeff Dittman, Hastings College women's basketball coach, NFL power rankings, and a look at the high school football and volleyball playoffs coming up right after this.
You're listening to the Doug and Daddy Show on Central Nebraska's ESPN Radio Superstation.
Oh, it may pain a little in the beginning, but after a while you won't feel a thing.
At Uncle Ed's Steakhouse in Grand Island, we're proud to present exciting dining choices. Our legendary steaks are personally selected from our exclusive aged premium reserve beef. Sensational entrees like our premium glazed lamb chops and pecan-crusted Chilean sea bass contribute to your experience. You can view the entire menu on our website. Join us for a relaxed and enjoyable dining experience at Uncle Ed's Steakhouse in Grand Island, where steaks are our passion, excellence is our promise.
It will be more fun than going to a movie.
It'll be more fun than texting your friends.
It'll be more fun than you've had in a long time.
We're talking about the 2008 Central Nebraska Youth Summit on November 1st in Kearney, sponsored by the Buffalo County Community Partners and the Buffalo County Youth Advisory Board.
Yeah, you'll get to meet new friends, learn new skills, and take action in your community and have fun.
For more information or to register, visit bcyab.org.
Sign up today and make a difference.
I'm Mike Johans, candidate for the United States Senate, and I approve this message. I've often said, after growing up on a dairy farm with John and Adeline Johans, everything else in life has been easy. That taught me the value of hard work and commitment to purpose. And at age 13, I applied those lessons to start a partnership with my brother. We raised hogs to pay our way through college. Now, these many years later, I'm the only candidate for the Senate to be designated as a friend of agriculture by the Nebraska Farm Bureau. In fact, I am the first and only federal candidate to ever receive that honor. I'm anxious to go to work on the Senate Ag Committee to strengthen our rural economy and create jobs so that young people don't have to leave their hometown. This is Mike Johans, not appreciate your vote.
Mike Johans, proven, tested, trusted.
Paid for by Johans for Senate.
So I'm thinking it's that time of year. You know, football, beer season. But my wife thinks it's...
Honey, help me decorate the house in various shades of orange. Throw fake leaves and plastic pumpkins everywhere.
Season. I need a break. Football and an ice-cold beer.
Escape to Cunningham's Rental Yard Good Time Headquarters this fall. Cunningham's has every NFL game on every Sunday, all in high def. Enjoy food and drink specials, too. But don't wait till Sundays. Visit any night of the week and escape the...
Honey, help me.
So, Cunningham's Rental, downtown Kearney.
Just arrived at Crossroads Ford in Kearney, the all-new 2009 Ford F-150. It has new front and rear end styling and design, plus an all-new V8 lineup. The Ford F-Series has been the best-selling pickup for the past 31 years. Stop by and see why. This week at Crossroads Ford, if you're 21 or older, stop in and test drive the all-new 2009 Ford F-150, and Crossroads Ford will give you two tickets to a Storm hockey game while they last. That's Crossroads Ford, Kearney.
Crossroads Ford, Lincoln Ford, Kearney.
Chicken coop, Doug and Daddy Show, and lunchtime. That's what goes on between 11 and 1. You listen to the Doug and Daddy Show, you go to the chicken coop and have a great lunch, and you watch all your favorite sports. NBA's in the mix now that the World Series is done. NBA, college football, NFL football. whatever you want to watch, TVG, the horse racing's on, whatever you want to watch, it's there for you at the Chicken Coop. The best place to watch sports in town in Kearney or Grand Island. You can catch all your favorite sports there on their 42-inch high-definition flat screens. Great food and drink specials, lunch special every day, specials every night. Of course, Monday Night Football, $2 you call it throughout the season. If you can't decide, we'll come back every day because they've got something different. I mean, I don't know how many days in a row you have to go to the Coop to eat it all, but I think we've attempted it, and it's a lot of days. Whether you love the best wings in town, or if you just want a pizza, whether it's, hey, I want a hamburger pizza, or you want the
pepper
jacaroni. Maybe you want a little specialty pizza, the drunken Italian. They need to have a drunken German. Oh, wait, we have the drunken German. You can pick up, as you said, great taste in ribs. If you just want something light, they've got a salad for you. It's all there. Great selection of burgers as well. We talk about them quite often, but folks, go in and watch the Husker-Oklahoma game with a bunch of your friends. There's going to be a great atmosphere. There always is for NFL Sundays. See a lot of weirdos in there, and they're like, well, I don't know, Buffalo Bill jerseys.
And plus, it's all free. You just got to pick the right numbers and keto.
It's all there for you at the Chicken Coop, downtown Kearney, and Grand Island.
Doug, just side note here. Did you hear what Ben Roethlisberger said over the after practice yesterday?
Crap, a car! Bam!
No, that was not it.
That wasn't it?
Talking about the added excitement of the Monday night game in Washington, Ben said something to the effect of, well, you know, he said, obviously, you know, stadium's loud, you know, Monday night, and all the cameras, and everybody's watching in. He said, plus, they make those Washington cheerleaders stretch out in our tunnel. Everybody starts laughing. He goes, no, I'm serious. They do.
Wow!
And I guess that's kind of a staple of the Washington Redskins. They get those girls, and they said, well, can that be a distraction? He said, yeah, it could be a real distraction. And they had a pretty good chuckle about it. But so the Washington Redskins cheerleaders, they stretch out in the visiting team's runway, if you will.
Nice in the tunnel. Let's go to this story here. John Daly taken into custody Sunday morning by Winston-Salem police. Found drunk. Where? Where would John Daly be found drunk? That's right, outside a Hooters restaurant.
You don't know me like I know me. You never walked in my shoes.
Oh, poor little fella.
You don't know how the mountains I climb are the ones that I choose. You don't know me.
He goes out to Chris in Atlantic, Iowa. John Daly, taken into custody Sunday morning. I mean, seriously. Winston-Salem police found him drunk outside an area Hooters restaurant. Police said in a statement that officers went to the restaurant on a medical call. When they arrived, Daly was being treated by emergency workers after losing consciousness. While at the restaurant, police said Daly, quote, appeared extremely intoxicated and uncooperative, end quote. He refused repeatedly to be taken to the hospital and was asked to leave the restaurant by several workers. Daly was taken to the Forsyth County Law Enforcement Detention Center for a 24-hour stay until he was sober.
You don't know me.
Well, at least they got him sobered up and back on the...
Where he went out, took his shirt off, and played around and go.
Speaking of just the bizarrity of the world of sports.
I miss John.
Well, I wish he'd get it together and everybody cheers for John. But it's just a disaster. And every time you see Daly, the next, if it's not good, it's not, nothing positive has happened in about 8 years. Speaking of nothing positive happening, how about Isaiah Thomas? That is...
The whole Jim Rome show could be Isaiah Thomas. I can't do it real well, but he slow talks, high-pitched voices, and he's got to make them real lobster.
You know what, and another, you know, and I said, Lute Olson, yeah, I said, what, you know, did he go off the deep end or what? Why wouldn't you just come out and say you had a stroke? I don't understand why you would hide that from anybody. That's something relatively serious, I think. It's not like, well, on Christmas, Lute was playing with the grandkids and he sprained his ankle in the driveway when a when a hoppity hop ran over his leg.
A bouncy ball
in his leg. Well, I mean, if you're in the hospital, I don't understand why Kellen Winslow wouldn't come out and say, I got staph infection. You know, everybody's out here going, well, God, what are they hiding? That must be a pretty big case of syphilis. I mean, as long as you hide it that long, people are out here going, what? Well, he must have tangled with some rough stock. I mean, that ain't good. I mean, well, come out and say it. Isaiah Thomas blames his 17-year-old daughter? And then the police chief says, I'm pretty sure we know the difference between Isaiah Thomas and a 17-year-old girl.
Well, I hope so.
Wasn't Isaiah the one you used to like? Of all the bad boys, wasn't he the nice one?
Well, yeah, he was the hard worker, he was the scrapper, he was the everyday guy because he just, you know, every little bit of him was talent because he had to work, you know, he just wasn't tall. He just wasn't an NBA-looking player. And, you know, to survive Bobby Knight and to get in and have to play with the Detroit Pistons, who weren't very good when he got there, and to turn him into world champions back-to-back. And he just became extremely weird. Bought the CBA, crashed, and from there, Nighty Night, Knicks stink. You know, he's turned into Bill Callahan. Not my fault. Not my fault. Doug and Danny Show, hey, remind you that we want to get you going for the ESPN Superfan Pilgrimage to the Nebraska-Colorado game. It's a camper that sleeps sick, stuffed with food, 4 game tickets, and 3 of your best buds or family members on your way to the Colorado game. All you have to do is go to ESPNSuperStation.com and become a superfan. If you're already a superfan, then proceed right on to step 2, which is to keep tuned to Central Nebraska's ESPN Radio Superstation to hear your name. Going to be starting that just after the first of the month. Winners get a weekend with the Sunseeker Camper from Rich & Sons Camper Sale, a supply of tailgate goods from Schroeder's Smoke Foods, and 4 Nebraska-Colorado tickets. So get signed up now. All you have to do is go to ESPNSuperStation.com, get you signed up to be a super fan, and again, that way when the bowl season comes around, the NCAA tournament comes around, we get you involved, we get you signed up, and you're already ready to go. ESPNSuperStation.com, a chance to be a superfan and win the Superfan Pilgrimage, brought to you by Rich & Sons, South 281 Grand Island, Schroeder Smoke Foods of Shelton, Sun Heat Systems, and ESPN Radio. When we come back, going to talk a little high school hoops, or excuse me, a little college hoops with Jeff Dittman, head women's coach at Hastings College, power rankings, and high school football all to come.
Central Nebraska's ESPN Radio Superstation with the Doug and Danny Show, where their motto is,
if you can't be an athlete, be an athletic supporter.
Checking your online financial accounts more often these days? You need ID Vault. If you're using the internet to access your 401k or to check your bank and credit card accounts, you need ID Vault. Hi, I'm Jerry Thompson, founder of ID Vault. In these financially troubled times, the menace of online identity theft and fraud is worse than ever as email scams, fraudulent websites, and hidden spyware try to steal your money. Millions have already fallen victim. ID Vault goes far beyond computer security software to protect you personally, your usernames, passwords, and credit card accounts. ID Vault renders you virtually invisible to online identity thieves, automatically logging you into trusted websites and spotting fraudulent ones before they can harm you. You can even shop online more safely and never have to type in your credit card information again. Go to IDVault.com and try ID Vault free for 30 days on me. That's IDVault.com. Now, more than ever, you need ID Vault.
Tis the season to shop ABC Drug and Gift. November 8th is the ABC Drug and Gift annual Christmas open house. Have your picture taken with Santa from 10 to 1:30 and enjoy refreshments, balloons, and lots of great giveaways. Plus, get registered for the $100 wish list drawing. It's everything you want on your Christmas list, and you could win it. See the great gift and holiday ideas November 8th at ABC Drug and Gift, Kauffman Center, downtown Kearney.
It's just as easy as ABC Drug Store.
You have to figure that the only golf course in central Nebraska with a global positioning system would have a good shot at spotting you some great savings. Indianet Golf Course Pro Shop has specially priced 10% discounts on Husker logo gear and exceptional values from name brands ranging from Adidas to Antigua, Callaway, and Mizuno. Shop early for Christmas or for all the remaining nice weather. Still a great assortment of golf clubs and equipment as well. So visit the Pro Shop at Central Nebraska's only GPS-equipped golf course, Indianet. Click on IndianetGolf.com or call 308-381-4653.
Saturday, the top-ranked Texas Longhorns travel to West Texas to face the fifth-ranked Texas Tech Red Raiders. This is Kevin Kugler of Westwood One. Join Terry Bowden and me from Lubbock as the high-flying offense of the Red Raiders will aim to outscore quarterback Colt McCoy and the Longhorns' gunslinging offense. It's big-time Big 12 football. Texas. Texas Tech. If it's NCAA football, it's right here.
It's a college football doubleheader Saturday. Florida State, Georgia Tech at 2. Texas Tech at 6:30 on ESPN Radio.
Central Nebraska is ESPN Radio Superstation. We'll take a look at the NCAA men's basketball poll released by the Associated Press. North Carolina, unanimous number one. I think that's the first time since 91, which would have been?
Michigan.
No, I didn't look it up, but it had to be UNLV. They were going for back-to-back national championships.
Yeah, you're right.
Connecticut second, followed by Louisville, UCLA, and Duke. Then it's Pittsburgh, Michigan State, Texas, Notre Dame, and Purdue, Gonzaga, Memphis, Tennessee, Oklahoma, and Arizona State, Miami, Marquette, Georgetown, Florida, and Davidson. Davidson is ranked 20th, and rounding it out, that's right, Davidson's ranked ahead of Kansas, USC, Wisconsin, Kansas, Wake Forest, and Villanova. Other Big 12 teams receiving votes would have been in 29th was Baylor. Then back in the pack, Texas A&M got a few, and way down, four votes for Oklahoma State, or 4 points. It took 122 to be 25th in the poll. So we look at that, Daddy.
I'm just looking at the odds here on Davidson. Davidson, 40-1 currently. They open.
There's no way Davidson can win the national championship. I want to hear Cowherd go off on that. 40-1? It should be 400-1. There is no way Davidson can win the national championship. No way. There's no way. What's North Carolina? Even? 3-2?
12-5, so 2-1.
And Texas?
2-1. Texas is 15-1.
All right. So there you go. The Big 12 favorite, or at least highest rated Big 12 team, set at 15.
Kansas actually 12-1, so Vegas thinks Kansas would have it. But.
And by the way, to all the people that had Tampa Bay winning the World Series tickets, they're just as good as they were at the beginning of the season. So all that talk, El Squatoli. Well, coming up this weekend, the number two team in the NAIA gets things going in the women's basketball field.
El Squatoli, that's a new word. I've got to write that one down on my
list.
You
haven't wrote down a new word in a while, so I want you to get after it. We are talking once again on the Doug and Daddy Show with the new head women's basketball coach at Hastings College, Jeff Dittman, as they finally get on the court this weekend at Morningside. Coach, good morning.
How are you doing?
Well, we're glad to have you back on the Doug and Daddy Show. Are you as eager as everyone else to get this basketball season going?
Yeah, I don't know. It's a toss-up between 12 athletes who have been working out for about six straight weeks or myself, but we're all ready to start playing a ball game.
Coach, I said earlier in the show, we're talking about the Nebraska women's volleyball team. Do you take things, when you got that number two ranking firmly placed on your back, do you take things like Nebraska's loss in volleyball last night and use that as focus motivation?
You know, I guess I'm maybe a little different than a lot of coaches in that I think a national ranking, especially early in the year, is a sign of respect for your program. And we went through a coaching change, and yet it doesn't seem to have affected the status of Hastings College women's basketball in that turnaround and receiving the number two ranking to start the year off. So, I guess, like I said, I don't mind the rankings. I'm not going to kind of brush them off as a lot of coaches do. I think they're positive if they're used right. And for the first 10 games of the season, I think that's the motivation all that an athlete needs is that it's been 12 months since they played some ball, so they'll get after it. The time of the year that's really kind of the difficult time of the year is that end of January stretch where you've been playing for about 4 months, and then you're still a month from the postseason, and so that's when, if you look categorically across the NCAA, you'll see a lot of those 8-7 teams in the conference beating a 1 or a 2 on a given night.
talking with Jeff Dittman, the head women's basketball coach at Hastings College. Haven't really chatted with you, Jeff, since you took the job. So what do you think of the time that you have been preparing to get this season ready? Did you have the type of talent that you thought when you came in?
Well, we do. You know, a couple of things have changed. We had a very tall front line at the end of last year, and Brianna Lean decided not to return for her senior year, so we lost the 6'3 post player there. Rachel Van Kirk got married last summer, and she won't be playing this year because she's going to have a baby. So we lost another six-footer. So, you know, we went from having one of the tallest and probably most experienced front lines in the country to now we're in a situation where we still have a great post player in Lindsay Ducey, who was a first-team All-American as a sophomore. But we have a freshman then who's 6'2 out of Grand Island, Alicia Statler. And then after that, we get pretty small when those two aren't available or are out in a rotation or in foul trouble or something like that. So that part has changed a little bit. We have great quickness in the backcourt. We're very aggressive defensively. I think we can really do some things with our speed. But that part has changed a little bit since we took the job.
And, Coach, I hear Statler might be a little banged up going into this opening weekend. How's the injury situation with your team?
You know, she's been a little snake bit so far. She got mono probably about 2 weeks into the preseason, so she was out about 3 weeks with that. And on the very first day back from recovering from mono, she sprained an ankle badly, and that's going to be about a five-week sprain when it's all said and done.
Wow.
So that's another 3 weeks. So that's why I say she's been a little snake bit. But other than that, Rachel Isherwood has a sprained thumb on her shooting hand, but we've been pretty healthy, and you know, I kind of jokingly told our trainer the other day that we haven't even taped anything yet up until 2 days ago when we taped Rachel's hand for the first time, so it's been kind of an unusual preseason for me anyway.
Women's basketball coach at Hastings College joins us, Jeff Dittman, on the Doug and Daddy Show. Jeff, I guess when you lose height like you guys have lost in two players, did you have to totally go a different direction with your system, or does your system just remain in place and you just go ahead with it?
Well, the change in height didn't change the system as much as just trying to get to know the athletes on the team, try and you know, make the transition from Tony's system to our system as minimal as possible. And I think defensively we're fairly similar in a lot that we did. There's a little different terminology. Once in a while we have a technique that's a little different. But overall I think that's been fairly consistent for our players. Offensively, of course, you always have a lot of change anytime you bring a new coach in. And so we're going to have to adjust to that. We're going to have to get used to the new offensive sets that we've got. But, you know, again, still the philosophy is the same. You want to move the basketball. You want to use your inside game when you've got a talented post player like Lindsay. You've got a third-team All-American senior guard in Kay Ducey, Kay Brockmeyer. So, you know, we're still going to do a lot of the same things that Tony did. We just may be in a little different position. And overall, I think they've adapted well. We had a couple scrimmages the last two weekends. Saw some great progress from two weekends ago to last weekend. And so I think we're about ready to go and face a real opponent now.
Jeff Dittman, head women's basketball coach at Hastings College, joining us here on the Doug and Daddy Show. Hey, Jeff, what do you think of that mouthy Heather McEwen? How's she doing?
No, I hope Heather's not listening.
She'll have it out for me. She'll have it out for me.
You know what, Heather is an interesting young lady. I really enjoy her. She has a great basketball knowledge. She's a basketball smart person. We kind of laughingly on our team joke around once in a while that we have some great athletes. And you know, like Kay said the other day, she said we have some great athletes, but we're not always the smartest team on the floor. and you know, there's two types of basketball players in my mind. There's the kids who are great athletes, and their athleticism is what you use in your system. And then there's those kids who aren't quite as good athletes, but they're great basketball players. They understand the system. They see the big picture. And Heather definitely fits into that category. She really understands everything that we're trying to do, and she's very good at helping us teach this system to players, and especially the younger players. So I've really enjoyed working with her. She's, I think, also got some great leadership skills that we're trying to encourage her to use even more. And so I'm expecting an awfully good season out of Heather this year.
Jeff, I guess before we let you go, there's a couple, three or four more freshmen on your roster, a couple from the area in Leanne Jamison, and then a St. Paul girl, Justine Detlefs. Do you foresee them getting any playing time this year or contributing to the program as freshmen?
You know, I think both of them have some great opportunities. Leanne has been in our rotation, particularly in the post area. Now, that's probably not a position she's completely familiar with, but she's done a nice job at the power forward, and with her and Heather, it really spreads the defense out because of their shooting ability. They're both excellent shooters. So there's a really good chance, as long as she can handle, you know, the physicalness of the post play, that she's going to get some regular rotation time with us. Now, with Justine, she had been battling a bad cold for about 4 weeks, and she's just now getting her stamina back and getting on her feet. And she has one of the nicest baseline moves around, and she's really – she fits into that Heather category of being just a really smooth, great basketball player, really understands things, and I think things are going to get better for her as the season goes on, and now she has a chance to get in shape again. So the long answer to the question is I think both of them have an opportunity to help us win some ball games this year.
Jeff Dittman, Hastings College women's basketball coach. Jeff, before we let you get out of here, a quick preview of the teams you're going to play this weekend.
Well, we've got a great battle in the first game. We play Jamestown College. They're the preseason favorite to win the Dakota Athletic Conference. They're rated number 9 in the country. And so it'll be a great matchup with two top 10 teams on Friday. They're a team that's always very balanced. They play extremely hard. They're a good defensive team. And interestingly enough, last year one of their problems was scoring. They only averaged about 60 points a game. They had a young lady on the team, Julie Variano, who was named the Defensive Player of the Year in the conference, and she was also the leading scorer on the team. Julie tears an ACL about 3 weeks ago, and I look at the scores from last weekend's games, and they're averaging about 75 points a game. So that's one of those things that doesn't really make any sense. Their best offensive player is out for the weekend, and they're averaging 20 points a game, almost 20 points a game more than they did a year ago. But, you know, they'll play hard, and they'll get after it, and it should be a great battle. And then on Saturday, we have a matchup with Dakota State. And Dakota State graduated a lot of seniors off of their squad last year, but I'm kind of biased. I think there was a couple of pretty good recruiting classes in the freshman sophomore class, and so they've got some talent. They're going to be a little young, and they'll be a little inexperienced because, again, we played those six seniors 4 straight years, and they won a lot of ball games, and so the younger kids didn't get as much playing time last year. But like I said, I think there's some raw talent there. I think they've got a couple of 6'2" post players that can develop into some really nice college players down the road, and I'm glad we're playing them maybe the second game of the season instead of the 22nd game of the season.
Jeff, best of luck this weekend and throughout the season. Look forward to catching up with you throughout the season as well, and we'll talk to you later.
All right, thanks for the call.
Thanks, Coach. Coach Jeff Dittman in his first year. Of course, all right off the bat, interesting games, interesting side notes to both of those basketball games. So Hastings men and women, and in fact, the teams they're playing have already played. Good Lord, we think this is early. Some teams are playing last weekend. Unbelievable. We've got to take a break. NFL Power Rankings. Guess who's back? Back again after this.
Something wrong, sir? I will not tolerate this flagrant mockery of my intelligence.
Neener, neener, neener. Doug and Daddy will be right back to further insult your intelligence.
Was a time T stood for Talladega, which is still true. But today, T stands for something totally different because the clock is ticking in the chase for the Sprint Cup. This week, T is for a full tilt tussle that's touch and go at times but always too close to call. This week, T is for tightening up them belts for a tachometer thumping, teeth clenching track deep in the heart of Texas.
The chase continues on ABC, Sunday at 3 Eastern, with the Dickies 500 at Texas.
You are LaDainian Tomlinson, star running back for the San Diego Chargers. You had a hard day at work. Your muscles ache and you're hungry. You heat up some Campbell's Chunky Steak and Potato Soup, loaded with lean meat protein. Yeah, protein's good. You eat ravenously, thinking about that compliment your boss gave you.
Hey, great run, LT!
You are LaDainian Tomlinson, in more ways than you know. Campbell's Chunky. Fill up on the good stuff.
like the way that sounds? You'll love how it tastes. A steak cooked exactly the way you want it, alongside jumbo bacon-wrapped shrimp. Sort of hits all the right food groups, doesn't it? It's also Skeeter Bond's Thursday night special. It's a hit with your budget, too, because it's only $13.99 tonight at Skeeter Barnes.
This is Eric Hellriegel, Skeeter Barnes General Manager. Now there are four more reasons to dine with us. They're called Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, and Thursday.
Skeeter Barnes, just south of the I-80 Interchange, Kearney.
Up next, a fresh forecast from the guys at Weather Eye, brought to you by Molly's Motorworks on East 25th in Kearney, where you always get a square deal and a fair shake. If you were out for a Sunday drive with the family 20 years ago in Kearney, there'd be a lot of places that you wouldn't even recognize. Well, excepting for that one place over on East 25th, Molly's Motorworks. Molly's been right there doing what she does best since 1987. A lot has changed since then, so it's a good thing to know that when you're in the market for a quality used car or truck, you can still get a square deal and a fair shake from Molly. Good to know.
We'll see a mix of clouds and sunshine develop across the area today with a slight chance of a shower sprinkle developing with high temperatures up near 70. Southwest winds will stay at 5 to 15 miles per hour. For tonight, we'll see partly cloudy skies with a low temperature of around 40. From the Weather Center, I'm meteorologist Paul Trombley. Right now, 48.
Show Central Nebraska's ESPN Radio Superstation. NFL Power Rankings coming up, but first we want to tell you about Kerbet, Matt and the gang at Kerbet Incorporated, because you know what, we're heading into the cold season, and we want you to be ready for next spring with Matt and the gang at Kerbet. 237-4805, 237-4805, or the best thing to do, folks, you're going, you know what, I hear you talking about Kerbet. I see some of the work they've done around, or maybe you're new to town. Maybe you're just moving in. Just bought a business, want to make it look better. Just bought a home or rented some, bought a rental, you want to make it look better. Guess what? Kerbet is the place to do it, and you can see the job that they do on the web, kerbet.net. We can tell you some of the things they do. The website's going to give you a whole lot more, kerbet.net. They want you to fall in love with your home all over again. Kerbet is a continuous and free-flowing landscape edging, allowing smooth, graceful curves, straight straightaways, and round circles that add beauty and value to your home. It's low maintenance, adds definition, and is guaranteed for a full 5 years. So go to kerbet.net. Pick out the design that you think will work and get that free estimate from Matt and the gang today at 237-4805, kerbet.net. Time for our NFL power rankings after week 8. Daddy, not a lot of new teams going in and out for me.
I've got one. I dropped the Jaguars out because, well, they just puked on themselves at home, and
I can't remember the last time Jacksonville was in my rankings. I dropped out the Atlanta Falcons, even though they might have been one blown call away from beating the Eagles. And I think Atlanta and Philadelphia are two teams that are still going to be there. And I'll tell you another thing. We have one big discrepancy in our power rankings, but you're up.
At number 10, I've got a try 10. I've got Arizona, Baltimore, and New Orleans. They were tied. I took it out to 4/100ths of a thousandth of a place. They were all tied when my computer rankings were unveiled. So I've got those three
Baltimore.
Teams.
Baltimore, are you serious? After what they did to you last year, you're back on the Baltimore bandwagon?
No, I just think they're about the 10th, 11th best team in the NFL. Then they got a quarterback in Joe Flacco that I really is starting to like. Number 9, I bring in the Dallas Cowboys, 5-3. A win at home over Tampa Bay. Don't know if that's that great of a win. Should have won by more. But Wade Phillips back calling the defense. Defense certainly looks a lot better.
Just
number
win,
8.
Baby, just win.
New England Patriots, 5-2. And here they come. Don't look now, but are they really Super Bowl contenders? I'm starting to wonder. And number 7, the Buffalo Bills. Derek, I had to drop them 2 places. They were at 5. I dropped them 2 places. 4 turnovers in the last quarter. Basically handed the game to Miami.
As long as you got them ahead of the Patriots, buddy.
Number 6, the 5-3 Tampa Bay Buccaneers. They drop a, they free fall three spots. Tampa Bay loses at Dallas. I still got them at number six. Number five, Pittsburgh Steelers. This is a great Monday night matchup with Washington. Look forward to that one. I got them at number five. Number four, the Carolina Panthers. Continue to win at home. 6-2. They're the fourth best team in my NFL. Number three, I bet the Washington Redskins at 6-2. Hey, they don't do it pretty, but they get it done, and that's why the record's 6-2, people. Number three, the Washington Redskins. Number two, the New York Football Giants. 6-1. Found a way to beat Pittsburgh, albeit Pittsburgh just did some bad things. I don't know what was going on there. 6-1. And the number one, of course, 7-0. The lone unbeaten team left, the Tennessee Titans, Jeff Fisher.
We have one major discrepancy, and I have said that I don't like Washington, and I still don't like Washington, and I do not have Washington in the top 10. I should have Washington in the top 10 to make it 100%, you know, what everybody says, legit. I don't like Washington. Washington's last three games, they're so great. They lost to the Rams. They beat the Browns, which they shouldn't have. It should have been an overtime game because for some reason Romeo Crennel didn't kick the darn field goal. 14-11, real impressive. And then 25-17 over those vaunted Lions. Give me something. Here is what's coming up for the Washington Redskins. Monday night with Pittsburgh. Bye week. Dallas. At Seattle. Cross-country road trip. Back home to take on the Giants. We will find out how good the Washington Redskins are in the month of November. There is a possibility of 0-4. 0-4. If they go 4-0, they are the favorites to win the Super Bowl. That is what's coming up for the Washington Redskins. So I will reserve my judgment, although I do think they're going to win on Monday night. Number 10, the Dallas Cowboys are back. I do not put them ahead of Tampa Bay. I barely get them in. That's right, I got them in and Washington out. Whatever. Dallas wins it. Not good statistics, but they got in. The Buffalo Bills at number 9. You can't play bad against a bad team on the road. Buffalo knew what was coming. Come on, Buffalo. They gave that football game away. The Chicago Bears, number 8. Tampa Bay, I dropped them to number 7. They had beaten Atlanta, so Atlanta falls out. Tampa Bay stays in. I moved New England to number 6. They are getting the job done. Just because they're not going undefeated or 14-2 doesn't make them a good football team. New England, number 6. Arizona Cardinals at number 5, and that's because I have Carolina ranked a little higher. I didn't think Arizona could play on the road. They can play on the road. Carolina's a great football team. The Pittsburgh Steelers, like Buffalo, puked away a game this weekend to a better team. I put Pittsburgh down a spot to number 4. Carolina up to number 3. The New York Football Giants, number 2, and Tennessee, number 1.
I'm just writing here your quote, Carolina is a great football team.
The thing with Carolina, you didn't know what was going to happen with Jake DeLone being hurt and Steve Smith being suspended the first two games of the season. And that totally, they won the games, they totally got things done.
Interesting. I like your assessment. I wish, obviously, Washington, I think they're deserving to be in top 10, but we can agree to disagree. I like your thoughts.
You're right.
I think
Washington could be in at 10. Dallas could be out for the Dallas haters.
Something interesting I've found about the quarterbacks in the NFL. When you talk about throwing quarterbacks, like I think Brett Favre slings it all over, throws the ball a lot. Would you agree?
Yeah.
When you compare him to Drew Brees, do you know Drew Brees has thrown 70 more passes this year than Brett Favre?
They throw it around a lot.
70. You go down the list. I mean, Aaron Rodgers, 85.
National Football League, a big weekend coming up. High school football playoffs begin today. Daddy, Class A, I'm taking Millard West.
You know what? I'm going to take Creighton Prep.
Class B, Creighton Prep won't make it out of the second round. Class B, I'm taking McCook. I don't even think there's any question there.
No doubt.
Class C1, I am going to get on the bandwagon and say Carl Tesmer and the boys do it. I'm with Stu Pospisil, Hastings St. Cecilia.
I as well.
In Class C2,
wow,
what do you do there? You know, this is where the coverage of the games, and then you take a look. Elm Creek seems like they're such a good football team, and I have such a bad feeling. I if Elm Creek and Kearney Catholic play again this year, I would be absolutely stunned. I would be stunned. And I just, you know, it's hard for 1 and 2s to get through anyway. But if they were playing in the state semifinals, I am throwing on the grand buffet for the press box or whatever. I'll figure something out because there's just so many. I mean, Creighton, Cambridge, Blue Hills won the West the last 2 years, Ravenna, Thayer Central, Hardington Cedar Catholic. There are so many bombs going on. I think the next round of the playoffs are going to be the best round of the playoffs. I think the next round is going to be the best round. There are still some games today. I just have a feeling that the winner overall in C2, once again, though, comes out of the East. And I, boy, Stanton is unbeaten.
But yet, Aquinas point total is higher, right?
Yeah. I don't know. I really don't know. I think maybe you get somebody out of that C2. Elmwood Murdoch is not going to win it. Wilbur Clay Tony is not going to win it. Archbishop Bergen, I don't know. I'm going to go with Aquinas.
You're taking, you know what, I'm going to stay on the West side. I think the West finally gets it done this year. I don't know who it's going to be in the West. You know what, I could take a flyer and say a 7 seed like Ravenna may be playing some of the best football right now in what they've done.
Wow.
A total turnaround from the first 3 weeks.
Why don't you drive over there and get your lips ready. D1, the state champion will be Howells, and Howells and Clarkson will play in the semifinals, and that will be for the state championship. I think there's going to be some exciting D1 games today.
You know what? I'm going to say Howells will win it, but I also think, gosh, it's tough because when you're looking at the teams in the West, I don't think anybody can match up. It's just a bad matchup in D1.
I think D2, the Sargent Ewing quarterfinal game, is going to be outstanding. And Selma Myrna has one of their key players out, has been hurt. I think that's going to hurt their chances. If they can be healthy by the time they get to the state semifinals, which I think they are going to have a heck of a game against Hayes Center in the quarterfinals. But I like Sargent right now to have a heck of a chance. But Ewing, I'm going to pick Ewing to come out of the West and Elgin to come out of the East, and that's going to be your state final. And toss a coin there.
I want to know what you think Axtell Medicine Valley today.
Axtell gets a little revenge. There should be some great football on ESPN. Tony and I are going to Minden for Minden Crofton. Pregame at 3, kickoff at 3:30. That's followed by Kearney Catholic and Southwest. 12:30 a.m. KHAS. 6 o'clock kickoff from Duncan Field. Hastings, St. Cecilia, and Boone Central. Power 99 FM. 3 o'clock kickoff. St. Paul at Gordon Rushville. One of the few road teams that Stu Pospisil has picked to win on the road. St. Paul, a 12 seed. He has picked St. Paul to beat Gordon Rushville. That will be followed by the Ravenna Thayer Central game at 6 on Power 99. And finally, we will have on the Breeze 94.5 FM Franklin trying to bounce back from their only loss of the season against Amherst, who's also missing one of their top scorers. That game is at 7. Scoreboard shows tonight on KHAS, Power 99 after the games. We'll have updates on all the scores tomorrow. We'll also be bringing you the Kearney High Omaha West Side game on Power 99. Tom Rudrud will join us talking Tri-City Storm hockey tomorrow. I want to thank Jeff Dittman, head women's basketball coach at Hastings, for joining us today.
Hey, we'll see you tomorrow. Doug and Daddy Show, 1460, 1550.
You've been listening to a Doug and Daddy podcast brought to you by Cunningham's Journal. Cunningham's Journal, the only bar you need to know in Kearney.
Oh, darling, I feel like amazing.
Don't make me do that again.
Game over!